Thank you, Mr. Oppy. Greetings and happy Sabbath, brethren. It's good to see you all and you watching us on the Cybercast, coming together to worship our God Elohim together. Today we are nearing the undated halfway point from the last fall holy days to the near future spring holy days of God. How are your spiritual batteries, brethren? Are they still charged up after the 6th and 7th festivals? Are you beginning to get bogged down from the daily struggles and spiritual warfare? It would not be surprising if this were the case. After all, we are flesh and blood, and we know there must be a great tribulation before He returns. Brethren, our Lord and Savior came to reveal the Father, to teach the way to eternal life in God's kingdom, in the complete eternal Word of God. He has a living legacy for all mankind. Jesus quoted with dexterity and command from the only scriptures of God's word at that time. He spoke parables to crowds who were amazed by his miracles and knowledge of the scriptures superior to the religious leaders at that time, and to his disciples at the same time who were present. Brethren, friends, one of the parables he gave as an example of his kingdom was the parable of the 10 virgins. 5 wise and 5 foolish. Since this parable can encompass multiple sermons, and this being a sermonette, I will only cover some of the highlights. The purpose of this message is by showing the deficiencies of the foolish virgins, we can see how the wise virgins were ready, and to give you some biblical advice on how to be ready for the bridegroom's appearing. The title of this message is, Be Prepared to Not Be a Foolish Virgin. This parable is one of several which only appears in one gospel. In this case, Matthew 25, verses 1 through 13. Let's turn there, please, and read some of the verses together. Matthew 25, verse 1. I'll be reading from the New King James Version. Verse 1. Then the kingdom of heaven shall be likened to 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. Now 5 of them were wise and 5 were foolish. Those who were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. But while the bridegroom was delayed, they all slumbered and slept. Let me share a personal experience here. Back in 1975, I was in United States Army Ranger School, phase 2 of 3, in the mountains northwest of Dahlonega, Georgia. Phase 1 started with 100%, phase 2, 80%. Phase 1 emphasized physical harassment and endurance. Phase 2 emphasized basic mountaineering and small unit leadership tactics while under reduced food and sleep, about 6 hours in 24. Believe me, we were busy those other 18 hours. On one training mission near the end of phase 2, I was the assault team leader. And as was usual, afterwards, there was an after-action report given by each team leader and an assessment by the instructors. My team did great that mission. I was not the first asked to report, the second or third, but fourth that time. Each report and assessment took about 5 minutes or so. Here it is around 2:30 in the morning. at about our 18-hour day. And after the mission, everyone is sitting around and looking at that lamp towards the front. Did I say it was dark in the mountains at night? Well, while waiting my turn, I was nodding off. Not asleep. I could still hear the voices. I even heard, assault team leader. Assault team leader. Someone wake up the assault team leader. As he was saying this, I bolted to my feet and barked, "Here, Sergeant!" He said, "Sleeping, 25-point deduction." I was the team leader. Anyone else would have lost just 10 points. All students started with 1,000 points, and as I recall, you had to have 850 to pass. Every point counts. As we'll see here, every drop of oil counts. Verse 6. And at midnight, a cry was heard. "Behold, the bridegroom is coming. Go out and meet him." Then all the virgins, those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. Do you think they just yawned and just leisurely got up? If you were involved in a critical task and a shout woke you up, and you know you had fallen asleep, I think you'd be like me and you'd jump up, ready with all the adrenaline-infused muscles, ready to explode. It might seem comical as I say it, but brethren, friends, this biblical account was very serious indeed. All the virgins representing baptized, called out ones, like many of us here, they all had not only nodded off, but fell asleep. Remember Christ Jesus finding Peter, James, and John, who fell asleep while he prayed just before his betrayal and arrest? And he saying, "Couldn't you stay awake just 1 hour?" Then again, going and praying and return to find them nodding off with heavy eyes, and again going to pray again and coming back and saying, "Are you still sleeping and resting?" Brethren, this parable tells us all 10 virgins fell asleep. Now the virgins will awake suddenly, jump up and trim their lamps. According to Thayer's Lexicon, an in-depth dictionary, the word "trimmed" comes from the Greek word kosmo, means to put in order, arrange, make ready, prepare. Well, just imagine, brethren, the 10 virgins went out to meet the bridegroom at night. It's dark, their lamps are lit, they're waiting for him and his entourage. He's delayed for whatever reason, the Father knows. They're waiting, sit down, start nodding off, and fall asleep. The shout awakes them. They get up, it's midnight, still dark, and they need to trim their lamps. At this point, we need to make sure we're talking about the same things here. The lamps being spoken of, according to Thayer's, were most likely torches. The common torch is where an oil-soaked rag was placed in a cup at the end of a wooden or metal stick. The oil would burn more slowly than the rags. This additional oil would be very helpful for an extended event. The vessels the wise took extra oil in were just a container that can hold oil, like a small jar. The oil in this case represents God's Holy Spirit. Verse 8, and the foolish said to the wise, "Give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out." This tells us the lamps were lit when they nodded off and fell asleep. Only the wise were prepared with extra oil to meet the bridegroom. We see the wise virgins told the foolish virgins there might not be enough for both, but to go and buy some oil for themselves from those that sell oil. When the foolish were gone, The bridegroom came, and all who were ready went with him to his house, into the wedding, and the door was shut. We learn the foolish showed up at the shut door and sincerely desired entry, but were told by the Lord, "Assuredly, I say to you, I do not know you." There's only one way we could be sure to never hear those words ourselves. Have a close relationship with both the Father and Jesus Christ. When we have a close relationship with someone and they don't have a memory issue, then they will know us. The following sayings, if lived, will guarantee we will have a deeply personal relationship with our Creator and Savior. This goes for all who are called, and especially all who are baptized and had hands laid on them, followed by the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, the very essence of God in us. For those who have His Spirit in them, it started when we each were called and felt that first love. Don't leave your first love. As mentioned in the letter to Ephesus in Revelation chapter 2, the word love comes from the Greek word agape, which we know is the love God has for us and gives us to love God and our neighbor. The first love I had, I recall being almost addicted to wanting to know more, giving up other pursuits, and making changes in behavior, becoming convicted of what the Bible was telling me. I would think your love was something similar. Your first love? Another saying, come out of the world. We learn from God's word that things in this world He has nothing to do with. Satan is the god of this world. As we learn of God's ways, we see we have not been doing His ways and change. Another saying, draw near to God and He will draw near to you. This is self-explanatory, right? If we don't draw near to Him, He won't draw near to us. We received a calling. Another saying, seek first the kingdom of God. If our focus is on seeking the kingdom first, we will not as easily be sidetracked. Love God more than the things in the world is similar to value God more than anything else. Even your father, your mother, your spouse, your child, your job, everything. These two sayings are summed up in the great commandments in the law. You shall love the Lord your God with all your soul, all your heart, all your mind, and all your strength. The second's like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments, God says, depend the whole law, the Ten Commandments and the weightier matters, and the prophets. Last but not least is the same way we get to know anyone close to us, our family, friends. We talk to each other. We talk to God through personal prayer, believing He is listening. And He talks to us primarily through His inspired word. Look at the Psalms and read many of the sayings Jesus said to God in prayer. And Jesus Christ in the Gospels, the things He prayed to the Father. We all must be praying to our God Elohim with clean hearts so that He will hear us. Like Mr. Sagley spoke about last Sabbath, humility is essential to have God notice you and me. His heart is against the proud. Spiritual fasting helps us show God how much we want to be close to Him. To have Him hear us, both individually and collectively, when that occurs. As we make history, and there must be a history of growing in the grace and knowledge of God Jesus Christ, we are expanding that spiritual reservoir of holy oil to keep the lamps of our hearts burning for God and the bridegroom. To sum it up, brethren, friends, let not allow the high calling you receive to lead to your lamp going out. Make sure our Heavenly Father and the bridegroom know who you are. So when that door is shut, you'll be on the inside celebrating.